So if you'll turn with me to Galatians 4, we want to just address a few of these things. Because in the Christmas message is a message for you. Because, see, you are highly favored. Hallelujah. You're highly favored. In Galatians 4, verse 4 says that, but when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman under the law, in order that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Hallelujah. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Then an heir through God. See, actually, when I started looking into it, bringing the cross and the nativity together wasn't such a hard thing to do. Because right there in those two verses, it's all brought together for you. It says, when the fullness of time came. In other words, when the time came for the birth of the Son. When the time came for God to make himself manifest in this world. When the time came for God to come and manifest himself in the form of Jesus. And to announce that God was coming into this world. That's the fullness of time. When everything had been satisfied up to that point and the law had been fully given its operation and fully given its chance to redeem man and couldn't, a new way was brought forth. So in other words, so he sent forth, born of a woman, born under the law. He had to be born into that which had captivated us. He had to be born into that which had already gotten us into its claw and we couldn't get out. Because he had to be made as we are. And so he was born into the same thing for the purpose of redemption. See, he had to become your older brother in order to be able to be qualified to redeem you under the law. You had to be a near relative to redeem someone. So he had to become your brother in order to bring redemption. So that's what the scene was all about. So that ultimately you could receive the adoption as a son. See, we have to receive the adoption as a son. We, in other words, we talked about last week, we talked about the orphan spirit, and we've manifested, we've walked in, and we recognize that probably all of us recognize a couple of those symptoms in us. And if you had four or more, you really probably ought to investigate it pretty seriously. Just as a guideline. If you have 11 of them, you probably should shake it real seriously. Yes. We have sozo for that. We have healing for that. We have final deliverance for that. Hallelujah. So what we, but when we recognize that there were some things of an orphan operating in us, it doesn't mean that you're an orphan. It doesn't mean you were ever physically orphaned. It just means that there are some of those characteristics that we're still walking in, which belong to the old man and not to us. Because we're not the old man anymore. We're not the old man anymore. But when we see that there was a place where the Lord is sharing that he might redeem those who are under law, that we receive the adoption. See, the adoption is the opposite. The adoption is what qualifies you in the kingdom. But we have two symbols. We have two symbols. We have the symbol of the nativity, and we have the symbol of the cross. And these two symbols have one Christ. one mission that they're speaking of. See, one symbol without the other is incomplete because it speaks of the fullness of his love that God would choose to make himself man in order to be able to redeem us. That God would choose, it says something about the depth of his love, the desperation of his love, that he would choose to make himself man, and then he would allow that man to hang upon the cross to bring redemption to you and I. That's the desperation of his love for you. That's the depth of his love for you. That's the design of his love for you, is to bring you into a place of righteousness and holiness that could never be achieved under the law, that can only be done as an act of grace. The cross. See, John 1:17 says that the Lord Jesus was basically the revealing of truth and the revealing of grace. There's no greater revealing of truth than what the cross, because the cross represents the evilness, the intensity of our sin, the sheer barbaricness of the sin. But it also reveals the truth of his grace, the truth of his love, the depth of his desire to set you free. See, it's the completion of the story. When we look at the manger, we look at the baby Jesus, and we get all these fond feelings, and we see all that going on. But see, if we don't take that into account and know that that was brought so that this could happen at the cross. So that you could be redeemed. So that you no longer had to be an orphan. You no longer had to walk in those things of the old man, but you could walk in the fullness of the stature of who you are in Christ, so that you could have made available to you everything that comes to the identity that you have in Christ. Because it's out of that identity that we can begin to represent him. Hallelujah. I know you were thinking, yeah, I'm going to come to service on Christmas morning, and I'm going to get a light message. Wrong. I'm going to get somebody just to pat me on the back and make me feel good. Maybe. We'll do that too, okay? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, so go with me to Luke 1. See, in the nativity, he touched our world so that we, from the cross, could touch his. Hallelujah. I worked on that one liner a long time. I think it needed some more. That's like... See, I told you I'm still working these things out, right? That was needing affirmation and all that, yeah. But, yeah, he came at the nativity. He touched our world so that at the cross, because of the cross, we could touch his. Was that right? Was it worth a second visit? Okay. Was it better the second time? Good deal. Well, let me throw this out here, which has nothing to do with the lesson whatsoever, but just an interesting fact that I noticed as I was looking through all these scriptures. Luke 1, verse 15. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Remember Christ in Matthew 11:11 spoke of John the Baptist, and he said, of all those born of woman, he was the greatest. That's the reason why. Because of all those born of woman up to that point in time, none of the others had ever been filled with the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost in those days would come upon someone, but he wasn't in someone. But he also went on to say, but those who are born of the kingdom are greater than he. Why? Because every one of us who's born of the kingdom, Holy Ghost is in someone. That's why what you have is a greater covenant. Hallelujah. So we want to understand the fullness of what God has given to us, because it's in the fullness of the understanding that we can begin to walk in the way that He has already given to us. Hallelujah. So, anyway, I was just passing by on that. Jump down to verse 27. Oh, actually, 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Understanding that there's a difference between, some of your Bibles will say engaged, then some of them will say espoused. Actually, espoused is the correct version, because there were three different ways. Engaged, especially in those days, some people were engaged from time when they were three or four because their parents engaged them to someone else. It wasn't like we have today. It wasn't us making a choice. The parents made the choice, and that selection could have been made when you were really small. At that point, though, you were engaged to that person. But when you're espoused, now then you're moving from the engagement period into the being married period. But there's a year that you're espoused to one another. You're dedicated to one another, but you haven't yet come together in the consummation of marriage. But in the world's eyes at that moment, when you were espoused, you were looked at as married, even though it hadn't yet been ceremonially happened. So that's a difference. In other words, it's a difference of station that we, because we don't understand the context, we don't understand what that meant. But that simple espousement meant something to them. It meant that there was a relationship here that was greater than all others except marriage. Oh, and in verse 28, an angel came unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, cast in her mind what manner of salutation this might be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him to the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then Mary said unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing that I know not a man?" I want you to think about that just for a second. Here she is. There's an angel standing in her room. There's an angel. The angel Gabriel is standing in her room, and her only question is, how is this going to work? Okay, I hear you. I want to know how this is going to work, because I'm not known a man. Not, "Hey, what's that going to mean for me?" Not, "What are you doing here?" Like, "How did God come and visit me?" I think if an angel is standing there talking to me, I might have a few issues or a few questions to talk and discuss with him. I will be delighted for his presence. I will be acknowledging his presence. But whatever happens else, that's what she needed to understand. But basically, she was just simply looking to understand how is the mechanics of this going to work. You know, I think Mary must have been an incredible person. She must have been an incredible person. And I'm not saying that from a Catholic's perspective, because I know Catholics kind of make that all into, you know, she's part of the Godhead. But that's not where I'm going with this. I think we need to give her due honor and respect. Because, see, this... For a Jewish girl growing up in that time, they all had an expectancy that they might get to be the one that God would use. And yet God chose her for a specific reason. I think there was a character and a maturity in that girl. She was anywhere from 14 to 16 years old. And I look around and I see girls who are 14, 16 years old. I don't see the kind of maturity generally that you see that she's displaying. She displayed faith even in those moments. There was something in her that set her apart because God actually truly did come and visit her. Because they all had an expectancy and a desire to be used by God in this man. That was something that a Jewish girl would grow up with in that moment. So that's why to not have a child meant you were denied that opportunity. That's why not having a child was seen as a curse. It also meant that you didn't really have a retirement because guess what? In those days, your retirement was getting to live with the next generation. If there was no next generations, that you didn't have anywhere to go. Sorry. You do. Lots of laces. So, but my point was that there was something that was happening here, and she recognized the importance of the moment. But it couldn't have missed her observation that this was going to cost her something. Because, see, for her to show up pregnant, oh, number one, how do you explain this to Joseph? I've been a spouse to you. I've been faithful to you, but I'm pregnant. And, oh, by the way, it's with God. And his name's going to be Jesus. I'm not sure that that was going to play over too well. I'm sure that was an uncomfortable conversation, but a conversation that had to be had nonetheless. And then the next thing is that if the rest of the village, they're all up in your business, they see this, there's going to be an issue. Because, see, she could literally be killed over this. I just ruined your happy little manger scene, didn't I? I am so sorry. Oh, timed out. I'm reading it from the King James because it specifically makes a difference here. And I know that's the right version of the Bible anyway, so the one Jesus had to have used. So here we go. And so, and behold, thou shalt, let's see, where do we, how shall this be, since I know not a man? In verse 35, the angel answered and said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, thou also the holy thing shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God. The thing that she answers here, verse 38, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. She had no further question. Now, to me, that's a person of faith. There's a lot of strength represented in the, hey, this is what you're saying, let it be done to me according to your word. There's a tremendous trust that had to be there. Even though at that moment it couldn't have missed her observation what that could mean. I think we see there that Mary was highly favored. That's what up in base verse 28. So she's highly favored and the Lord is with thee. We see also not only is she highly favored, but we see that the Lord is with her and that she's blessed. There's three things. So I want you to recognize there's three things that the angel's speaking all in that one sentence. She's highly favored. The Lord is with her, and she's blessed. All those three things. To be highly favored was actually more than what we understand. It was to be encompassed with favor. In other words, to be surrounded with favor. It was to be endued with special honor. And it was to be made accepted. See, all these things were happening to Mary, but I want you to recognize that all those things, when we come and we accept Christ, it happens to you. I know, you're looking at me like a cow like in a new gate. I know that. I don't know why people say that, but anyway, they do look at everything new. Yeah, they 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 look at it with a puzzled look for a long time. They'll just stand there and they'll look at it with a puzzled look for hours. Anything that's new, or anything, basically they're very curious animals, so anything that's new. So as this is happening, see, there's something that God is doing in her heart, but it's something that God is doing in your heart, and it matches up with what he said. Go with me to Ephesians 1. Hallelujah. We'll just go to simply verse 3. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will. To the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed upon us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. In Ephesians 1, and it says, here it is, and King James says, to the praise of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. When he's speaking to Mary and he's telling her that she's highly favored, that word only appears one other place, and I just read it. When he told you, you were accepted, made accepted in the beloved. See, he even uses the same language. He calls you blessed. And that the Lord is with you. It all matches up. And it all covers the adoption that you have. The adoption into his family. The adoption out of the old and into the new. See, that's what the adoption is about, is a shifting of dispensation, a shifting of generation, and a shifting of the old man and into the new man. The adoption is taking you out of what you knew and into something that's bold and new. It's something that captures you and takes you into a new place. And see, sometimes we can, you know, you can be adopted and not realize the benefit of it. You can be adopted and not realize the benefit. I've had the opportunity and pleasure to work with a couple of different children who've been adopted. But, you know, sometimes when you're adopted, you really want to kind of continue life in that pattern that was already set. Not recognizing the pattern that is existing in the new family you're in. Sometimes making that shift is a difficult thing. So making that shift is something that requires that they interact in a brand new way and accepting and receiving the love that was being given, the position that's being given in the new family. I know a young man who was 16 and he was taken out of a boy's home at 16 years old. You know, in the reality of things, that hardly ever happens. He essentially won the lottery by that happening. That's how infrequent it is. Because by the time, you know, the kid, people will adopt a kid that's 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 or 5. By the time they get to 16, no one adopts them. And yeah, and then when they're 18, they're just kicked out on the street. Go find yourself. So when he was 16 years old, he was adopted. And not only was he adopted, but he was adopted into a wealthy family. But he still wanted to carry his attitudes, his defensiveness, everything that he had to do to keep his place in the boy's home. He wanted to continue doing that in the new home, and it wasn't necessary. Because he had a place, and it was purchased by love, not by his physical strength. It was purchased because they desired to show him love in a way that he wasn't even yet able to receive. This says here, remember we talked about Mary, she was blessed. that God was with her. And then also that, let's see, she was blessed that God was with her and that highly favored. All three of those things are being spoken of you in this passage in Ephesians 1. God is mixing the blessing that we can see that was so evident upon Mary's life, that the evidence is on your life. The blessing, the being highly favored, the being encompassed with grace, it's on your life. And it results in the redemption. It results in your unification in the new family. It results in all the things that the cross purchased for you. It results in everything that the hope and the peace that the nativity was speaking of. See, that nativity speaks of a hope and a goodwill and a joy coming to men. The cross was the finish of those things. The realization of what it took. The realization of the depth of Father's love to bring you into that place. To the praise of the glory of His grace, freely bestowed upon us. He made us accepted in the beloved. He chose us. He chose us for adoption. Sometimes we don't know what that means. Sometimes we don't know, in other words, well, I chose him, yeah, but first he chose you. First he positioned you to be able to know him. Because as much as you wanted to, if you had had a desire and he hadn't already positioned it for it, it couldn't happen. But he chose you. He chose you. Sometimes, going back to Luke 1, he spoke to Mary and told her that she was highly favored. Guess what? It's time for us to understand that being highly favored is more than just Princess Parking. Okay? I mean, I'm not knocking Princess Parking. If you get it, that's awesome. Okay? But being highly favored, sometimes that means that the Lord and His righteousness just became very real in your life. See, as a result of being highly favored, Mary had to walk through some things. When Herod said, you know, you got to come and you got to come into Bethlehem, and she was 80 miles away and almost ready to have a child any day, that was, you know, basically there was a little difficulty involved in that. And she could have looked at that and said, Herod, don't you know who I am? She could have had an attitude and said, you're not the boss of me. That's not what she did. She went and she made the journey. Because she made the journey, now the prophecy could be fulfilled. See, sometimes there's a thing that happens when you're highly favored. Sometimes you're carrying something that not everybody around you is going to understand. And when you're carrying something that's not everybody around you is going to understand, they're going to react to you in funny ways. Hello? Hello? Can you imagine? I mean, you're 8.5 months pregnant and you're wandering around and everybody knows you ain't married yet. That's still, even today, that's still a stigma. But in that day, it was a death sentence. That's something that we understand. We can see that and we can understand that, but have you thought about living in that? She's carrying something and she has the vision for what this means. She understands the vision of what it means, but it's not like she can go around telling everybody, it's Jesus, it's Jesus, you're going to be blessed, it's Jesus. No, she had to carry this, and she had to wear the things that people, well, she didn't have to wear it, but people were going to put things on her. Yeah. They were going to put things on her just because she's carrying something and they didn't understand. In the same way, when we're carrying something, you may look a little different to your neighbors than everybody else on the block. Sometimes people don't understand. Yes. Hallelujah. That's funny. That's why we want to make sure our cell phones are on vibrate. Hallelujah. But sometimes it gets real because you're going to be facing difficulty. That couldn't have been an easy journey. When you're highly favored, there can be a place where there's no easy journey. Hey, Chris, I hope you're not going far because we're almost there. It's no easy journey. When you're carrying something no one understands, you have to recognize that at some point in time, when the birth is made evident. See, when the birth was made evident, now there were at least a couple other people. See, because up to that moment, the only person who knew what was really going on was Joseph. Because the same angel visited Joseph and said, don't throw her away. This really is of me. She didn't lie to you when she said, it's God. So when that was happening, there was a recognition that there was some things that were going on. But I want you to understand that there was going to come a time when the vision is made full, when the vision is revealed to everyone, that at that moment it's going to be worth it because you have the opportunity to present Christ. Mary got to do it once. She got to present the baby Jesus. She got to present Christ. But guess what? You have the opportunity to present Christ every day. You are not only highly favored as Mary, you're actually more highly favored because you're going to have more opportunity. And sometimes the time that you're presenting Christ is while it's all messy. When everything doesn't look, it's not all in order and it doesn't look great yet. Do you realize that at the manger that we make it not, isn't that a cute scene? Isn't it so beautiful? It's so clean. A manger's not clean. Is it, Noe? I've never seen a manger that was clean. The best you can hope for is new straw, but as soon as you put the new straw down, the process of getting it unclean starts all over again. Animals, when they eat, they scatter stuff out of both ends. See, there's the old adage, and I think it's in Proverbs, where the manger is clean, there are no oxen. That's the only time it's clean, when you just cleaned it and they haven't come back yet. The rest of the time, it's going to be a mess. But guess what? Sometimes it's in the mess is where you get to present Jesus the most. When we're less than perfect, when we're less than perfect, but we're coming, we'll turn back and say, you know what? I didn't do that right, but here. Let me see Jesus through me because I apologize and I recognize that I didn't do that right. You know, some of the people that I affected the most were the people on the baseball field when I had to go back and tell them that I had lied to them the day before. I know, clearing your throat over there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like never did that. Way to go, Pastor. But when I first got saved, you know, lying just happened. It just happened because it had been happening all my life, or at least since I was probably two or three. And so it didn't stop just because I got saved and I had to address the issue in my heart, but I had to address, the Holy Spirit showed me to address this issue by going back and telling the people the truth. When you do that to an unsaved person, you can it's almost like watching Deliverance. I mean, you can watch their eyes spin in their head when you talk to them about it. And they're wondering, what is wrong with this guy? But it puts a seed where they can see it. They can see the reality of Christ in you changing you. See, sometimes when things are messy, we get an opportunity to show and display Christ. We're looking for everything to be perfect so I can go out and display Christ the way he is. No, Christ wants to be displayed in you wherever you are. The manger shows us he wants to be displayed regardless of where it is. I will take and accept the rudest and the most rudimentary places. The most out-of-the-way places to be shown. I qualify. I'm a pretty out-of-the-way place for him to be shown. Hallelujah. Maybe a few of you is qualified too, huh? Glory to God. Mary was highly favored. So are you. Because you're highly favored, we get to present Christ. Because we're highly favored, we can recognize that only through God can we do this the way he asked us to do it. It's not by our might, not by our power, but by his Spirit. When I quit trying to do it all in my own strength, now I can recognize what the power of the Spirit can actually do in my life. Jesus set the stage. You notice that it required for him to pay the price twice. He had to pay the price. God had to become man. You don't think that was a price? That was a huge price. He didn't descend into just magically transport and teleport into the throne room in Herod's castle. He had to be born in a manger. Then he had to come and allow himself to come to a cross, to pay the ultimate price, to taste death, because he is now your big brother. And he took your death, the death that sin represented, upon your soul, upon him. And he chose to rise up so that you could rise up with him in the victory of life. The hope that the Nativity spoke about was realized the instant he rose above the cross. The hope that was planted is there available to us every time we choose to let Christ be seen in our life. Hallelujah. We're not going to do a full candlelight service, but I just want you to allow yourself to reflect on the victory, the hope that was spoken of and released through that nativity, through Christ coming to us. The peace that is available for your life through Christ coming to us. The joy that you can have because Christ came to us. And we get to reflect him to the world.